Okay, we're beginning here with the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Bet. The Gemara now is going back to the Mishnah, quoting from the Mishnah, which says, Ketzad Asa Ma'amar. So if you look in the Mishnah brings a machloket between Rabban Gamliel and the Chachamim about whether there is Ein Get Achar Get or Yesh Get Achar Get. Then all of a sudden the Mishnah transitions and says, Ketzad, give me an example. And then it says, Asa Ma'amar Bivimto, V'natan La'get. Which is not a case of get achar get, it's not a case of ma'amar achar ma'amar, but a case of get achar ma'amar. So that's what the Gemara wants to understand here. Hi, get achar get, who? That's not a case of get achar get when the Mishnah says ketzad. Am Rabbi Yehuda achi gamar. This is what it means. Get achar get, u'ma'amar achar ma'amar, kid'amran. Kid'amran is referencing the braita that we saw in yesterday's daf. In yesterday's daf, the Braita actually spelled out those two instances, Mamar achar mamar and get achar get machloket, between Rabban Gamliel and the Chachamim. But then, Yabam echad v'yavama achat, then the Mishnah continues at that point, it says, when you have an instance of one Yabam and one Yivama, Ketzad. What is the story there? Or Ketzad hataratan, or mitzvah hataratan, how do you deal with the situation? Samamar bivimto, benatan laget, tzricha imenu chalitza. Goes on to explain how you work out all these different permutations. So the Mishnah at that point begins describing the different possibilities of matchups between Yabam Echad, Yivama Echad, and the next section will switch to Yabam Echad, which stay Yivamot, and then says Ketzad. So that's the Ketzad part of the Mishnah. The part of the Mishnah about the machloket, Rabbi Gamliel Chachamim leaves you with the Braita and says in the Braita it explains that machloket, but it's not explicated in the Mishnah itself. Right now, the next piece of the Mishnah says the Sa Ma'amar Ubal. If he does Ma'amar and then does Bia afterwards, Harizuk Mitzvata. That's the way to do it. Lema Misayale Rav Huna. This sounds like good support for Rabbi Huna's position. The Amar Rav Huna Mitzvat Yivama Mikadesh V'achar Gach Boel. That is the proper way to conduct oneself when it's dealing with the issue of Yibum. You should first perform Ma'amar, the Kiddushin Dirabanan, and then only then do Bi'ah to consummate the Yibum Midoraita. So Gemara says, Eima Afzek Mitzvata. Not that this is the mitzvah, but this is also a way to do it. So the Gemara is trying to reject this being a proof to Rav Huna's position by saying that if we alter the Lashon, amend the Lashon of the Mishnah and say that the Mishnah says this is also a way to do it, then it won't be a direct proof to Rav Huna, where it says, Pshita, of course, this is also a way to do it. Why shouldn't this be a way to do it? Sagadat chamina, I would have thought, in this case, because hoyo da amarmar, haose ma'amar bivimto, person who does ma'amar with the zivama, parchaimenu zikat yivamim, that takes away the zika, v'chalav zikat erusin v'nisuin, and changes it into a zika of erusin v'nisuin. Ema lav mitzvah kovid. I would think at this point, by doing that, when he goes to consummate the Yibum through Bia, he's no longer really doing the mitzvah of Yibum because he's already transferred or changed the nature of the relationship between him and this Yivama from being one of Zikat Yivamim to that being Zikat Irusin and Nisuin. Kamash Malon, that we don't say that. That we still say that there is value in doing the Ma'amar, and then the Bi'ah, and the Ma'amar does not in any way detract from the fact that the Bi'ah now is the consummation of the Yibum process. Regular marriage, you have Kiddushin and then Nisuin, which is Chuppah. So here, and they try to replicate that by Yibum, to have the same sort of two stages, that Ma'amar, which is Keneged Kiddushin, and Bi'ah, which is Keneged Nisuin. You only have Bi'ah according to the Torah, which is Nisuin, right? That's it. Whereas Ma'amar was added by the Chachamim in order to create a semblance of a marriage or normal marriage in this process of the Yibum. Right, so then where it says, Gufa, Gemara wants to review this position of Rav Huna, which is Amar Rav Huna, Mitzvah Yivamim, Mikadesh, V'achar Kach Boel. Vim Ba'al V'asa Ma'amar, Kana. If he does Bia, and then does Ma'amar, he's Kone. What is even the question? If he already performed Bia with her, he consummated the Yibum. That's Midoraita, that's done. So then what's the question? If he does Ma'amar after that, why would Ma'amar afterwards in any way detract from the fact that he already performed Yibum? Now, maybe the proper way to do it is to do Ma'amar and then Bia. But if he does Bion, then Mamar, why should that detract in any way? Because all you're doing is reinforcing what you've done already. You have Bion, which was a consummation Midoraita, and now you're just adding Mamar on top of it. Why do you need someone to tell you, if he did Baal Vasa Mamar, that it works? Of course it works. Why shouldn't it work? Like you're saying, why should the Mamar take away? That's the Gemara's question. Ela Ema, so you have to amend the statement to say, Im Baal below Mamar, Kana. So the statement here is, the way to do it is Mamar, then Bia. If you do Bia without any Mamar, Kana, it still works. So here he's saying that Bidi Avad, it does work. Basically what they're saying is, this is only a rabbinic imposition to do Mamar before you do Bia. If you just do Bia, then you've accomplished Doraita. It's Bidi Avad because the Chachamim told you to do otherwise. So all you've done is violated a mitzvah chachamim. The mitzvah chachamim is to do it in this order with a kiddushin and then bia. Instead, you just did it al piyat Torah. So then v'diavad yotze because you did what the Torah said, right? V'atanya loke. Don't we have a braita that says that you do get malkot in this case? Now loke, according to Rashi, has connotations of being deoraita. When you say the word loke, loke means getting malkot. Malkot is something that you give when you violate something deoraita. So here it implies that the failure to do Mamar is a failure d'oraita. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosafot is less enamored with that explanation. He goes, who would ever think here that there's a failure d'oraita? I mean, everybody knows that midoraita, all you need is bia. So how could you claim that the malkot of here are malkot d'oraita? So rather, Tosafot suggests here that the question is, if you're going to be loke, that makes a suggestion that there's more of a problem than we thought before, Dirabanan. Everybody agrees that it's a Malkot Dirabanan, but here he seems to think that it's a Malkot Dirabanan that seems to reflect a problem Deoraita, which is, Yada Shapir Dimi Dirabanan Loke, El Saka Dafcha Deloke Mi Dirabanan Mishum Dasau Chachamim Kopogeya Be'eshit Ach Shloba Makom Mitzvah. Since the Chachamim told you you must do it through Mamar, in a sense they said if you don't do it through a Mamar, it's the equivalent of being together with an Eshit Ach Mi Dirabanan. So not that just it's a failure to do a mitzvah d'rabanan, which is a failure to do a mitzvah d'asei mi d'rabanan. Here the malkot are a malkot for doing something wrong. What did you do wrong? Not that you just didn't listen to the chachamim, but you also were pugeya b'eshrach mi d'rabanan, because you didn't follow the words of the chachamim, which makes it sound like it's a much stronger issue, rather than simply just a lechatchila or bidiavad. That's why the Tosafot explains the issue of Loke, there are other Rishonim who give other explanations as to what the problem the Gemara had with the Loke, but the Gemara's answer is Makat Mardut Midrabanan. In the end, it's just Makot Mardut Midrabanan, which is means rebellious Makot. Those are given to people who do not follow the mitzvah to say of the Chachamim. So the only failure here was that he didn't follow the mitzvah to say of the Chachamim to do Ma'amar. It's no more than that. According to Rashi, it's not Doraita, it's only Dirabanan. According to Tosafot, it's not a violation of an Isur Derabanan. It's simply a failure to accomplish the mitzvah Ma'amar Midrabanan. The Rabbanan wants you to do it in this way. You ignore the Rabbanan, so you get Makat Mardut for ignoring the Rabbanan. The Rav Mangid, and here you have a list of things that Rav used to give Malkot for. Mand Mekadesh Bebia. We know that when it comes to Kiddushin, in the beginning of Masechet Kiddushim, there are three ways to generate Kiddushim. There is Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. Now, Rav says that even though Bia is a workable way to, and a way d'oraita to create Kiddushin, we don't want that happening. So he used to give Malkot to anybody who was Mekadesh Bebia, because he thought that was completely inappropriate. As Rashi says, Mishum Pritzuta. That's just a way of a parutz to do that Kiddushin in that way. It just seems that it's much too forward and much too explicit in terms of ishut to create the kedushin at the way. The kedushin should be a stepping stone towards nisuin, not the equivalent almost of nisuin, which is through bia. Uman de mekadesh v'shuka, he also used to do the same thing for someone who created kedushin in the shuk, in the open marketplace. Here Rashi says the problem again is the minak zilu to pritzuti. It's just not the proper place or location to do kedushin. It's a public place, a public thoroughfare. This is a matter of husband and wife. It should be done in a more secluded or quiet area. It shouldn't be done out in the public. It's just not the right location for it. Others suggest that it's connected to the subsequent problem, which is Uman de Mekadesh Velo Shiduche. Someone who gets engaged has Kiddushin without any Shiduchim. Now, any Shiduchim means that they don't meet beforehand. he does not placate the woman beforehand. He just goes in and reveals his kiddushin to her without any other interaction between them. So that's considered to be, again, inappropriate. It's either pitsuta, zilut, chutzpah. It's something that is not considered to be acceptable. We want the marriage to be a sustainable marriage, to be a marriage of kiddusha. And that requires that you must meet beforehand. You must have some sort of meeting of the minds before the kiddushin proceeds. You don't just go up and say, hurry up, mikdash it, li, to a woman and say, oh, hopefully she says yes. So that's inappropriate. So that might also be the problem by shuka, which is when you do it in the shuk, that's more of a happenstance. It's not like you just like bump into the woman in the middle of the shuk and you're proposing a kiddushin there. Again, it has that same feeling of arai, of temporariness that is associated with belushi duche. So again, that Rav used to give malkot for all of these activities. Uman demevatel gita. Also, someone is mevatel get. This is a sugya actually where machloket amoraim, where Rav actually does not think this is a problem. That if one sends shlichim with a get, he can retract the agency because they are his agents. As long as they're agents, then when they give the get, they're functioning as his agents, and then the get is effective. But if he pulls their agency, they don't know that, but if he pulls their agency, then he's effective in stopping the get from going through. So he sent out the shlichim, and he pulls his agency from them. When he pulls his agency from them, then their get's no longer effective, but they don't know, and neither does the woman know. So they give the get to the woman, and she's going to go marry with this get. So it's actually machloket amoraim, whether he has the ability to pull the agency or not. So Rav happens to be of the opinion that it doesn't work, that you cannot pull the agency, even though technically midoraita, he could pull the agency. We don't allow him to do it because of the churban that could come from this. Other amoraim think it goes through. Nevertheless, Rav still gave malkot for someone who did this because of the churban that could come out of it. Even though Rav thinks it's not effective, it's going to cast aspersions on the get. And by casting aspersions on the get, it's going to create huge problems for this woman, even though the get was effective, according to Rav. Now, of course, according to the Amoraim, who believe that it does pull the get, it's even worse, because it's really not a get, and then she's going to get married. And the same thing is here as well, Manda Masar Molda'a Gita, someone who pulls over aside to Edim, when he gives the get, and says, I'm giving the get under duress. And he basically is Mevato the get, from the outset, saying that I'm giving this get under duress, and then he's mevatel the get. Again, here, Rav was mangid oto, gave him malkot, because he's going to create a churban again. The get's going to go to his wife. She has no idea that he's giving it under duress. She's going to marry based on this get. It's going to cause him all sorts of problems down the road. Right, so that's not our sugya here, but the question of what's considered to be duress. That's called get museh. The question of get museh is a very, very touchy halachic question. Both what is considered to be meuseh, what is considered to be forced. Right, that's a question even the Beit Yosef already, in the time of the Beit Yosef is already discussing what's considered to be a get mi'useh at that time, meaning that how much of an out does he have to have? How much of an option does he have to not be considered to be forced? That's one thing. And the second thing is dealing with the fact that it has to come from a quote-unquote Jewish Beit Din and not be something that's imposed by secular courts, because that's considered to be a get mi'useh. How can the secular courts be involved and not be a get mi'useh? Also very, very controversial. There are different sides of that, especially with, for instance, like the New York get law, whether that is allowed or not allowed, and whether it's effective or great to get museh. So there are opinions on both sides. It's a very, very touchy topic. Over here, we're just assuming that if somehow he says that it was an invalid get because he was forced, it's not a good idea because he creates a korban from this. The woman thinks the get's going through, and meantime, he says it's not. Correct. You know, here they suspend privileges. They do it in a different way. They don't force him. They suspend his privileges. You get lose privileges. You lose your driver's license. You lose your passport. You lose your freedom. They never force him to give the get. You're allowed to suspend privileges. And that's exactly what they do in Israel today, is that they pull a person's privileges. The longer and longer that he is miserev to get the get, they pull his privileges and they reduce his privileges. So that you're allowed to do. That's not considered to be a get museh. Aman de pakir shlicha de rabbanon. And one who is not so nice to a shlicha midrabanan. Here there's a question about the girsa itself. You can see that in Tosafot. Tosafot says, Man de mit paker b'shliach beidina. Tosafot thinks it's a shliach of beidin. Kach girsat akunjus. That's what Rashi's girsa was. V'yesh farim shekatu b'em man de mitzayer shliach adarabonon, which is more along the lines of what our girsa is in the Gemara. And the Tosafot says, V'nira de b'cho shliach adarabonon yesh lo kot avgav delo b'shliach beidin. He says that a shliach of derabbanan should have the same status of a shliach of Beit Din. And again, the point being that this person is just a representative of the court, a representative of Talmid Chacham. He himself inherently is not deserving of the respect, because he's not one of the Rabbanon, he's not one of the Dayanim. But because he was invested with the power of being the Shliach of the Beit Din, or the Shliach of the Rabbanon, he's given a status by which the person who affronts him is as if he's affronting the Beit Din, or affronting that Rabbanon. And because of that, it's a chutzpah, as Rashi says, for a person to do that. May his panim against this this Rabbanon, or this Beit Din, by not accepting the power they invested in this Shliach. Someone who, after being in Shamta for 30 days, does not come and inquire into the Beit Din as to what he did wrong and how he can rectify the situation, they also, v'lo atu the Beit Din of a tabel de Shamta, and says, how can we rectify this? How can we straighten this out? They also give him malkot because it seems like that he's ignoring the Shamta. It's as if, I don't care that they put me in Shamta, and that's also a problem. The dayer b'bei chamui. And also for a son-in-law that lives in his in-law's house. Because over there is some suspicions of foul play between the mother-in-law and the son-in-law, and therefore it was considered to be inappropriate for the young couple to live by their in-laws. They had to live by their parents, which was in those days it was the case. They used to build on extra rooms or a place by the parents' house of the chatan, and then they used to live with the husband's family. Again, the nature and things have changed today, but that was the practice back then. The dayer in the chalif lo. That's only if he lives there. But if he just passes by, meaning if they're just there temporarily, then it's fine. Vahu the chalif above the beit chamui. There was this case where a son-in-law passed by the front door of his in-law's house, but nagde Rav Sheshet, and Rav Sheshet gave him malkot. I mean, just for passing by there, just for showing up nearby. Someone says, "How meidam davadayim mechamate." But that guy already had rumors circulating about him and his mother-in-law. So there was circumstantial evidence or suspicions that there was something going on. So in that case, when he came in close to that area, he gave him a call to say, "Listen, this is completely inappropriate. You can't go over there at all until you either clear up the rumors or you can't be there because there's a real problem here." And the Gemara is bringing this because it sees an equivalence here between Rav giving malkot to people who are mikadesh bebiyah, and the statement before in the Gemara that you get malkot if you do yibum through biyah, skipping over the process of ma'amar.
Nardai amrei bekulhu lo mangid Rav, and this is the halacha, which is Nardai said that in all these instances Rav did not give malkot elu mikadesh bebiyah below shiduchei. Only if you did kiddushin with biyah without shiduchei, v'yikad amrei afilu b'shiduchei nami mishom pritzuta. And some say that even with Shiduchei, then it was still a problem of Pritzut. Meaning that these are the only, or this is the small group of items that we give Malkot for. And in the end, because it's a Machloken and a Dinei Derabonon, we're going to go to Kula, and we pass them like the Nardai's explanation of Rav. So we only give Malkot in these very narrow situations, which is Mande Mekadesh B'Biyah, Ubelo Shiduchei. He does it with Bia without Shiduchim. And then some say, even with Shiduchim, he does it with Bia. It's inappropriate. And he gives Malkot. So that's the only thing we give Malkot for, technically. Today, where we pass on the Locha, is for Mekadesh B'Bia. Tarabanan. Ketzad Ma'amar. How does Ma'amar work? Here we've discussed Ma'amar for 52 daf. Now, the Gemara wants to know, how does Ma'amar work? What is this Ma'amar that we've discussed until now? So, Natan LaKesef, Oshova Kesef, he gives her money. Or money equivalents. That's the way you do it. I mean, the equivalent of how you would do it with Kiddushin. Kiddushin is done through money or money equivalents. According to Beit Hillel, the way we pass it is a Shavei Pruta that has to be given to the woman. And he's Mekadesh her by saying, Hariat Mikudeshet Li, Betabat Zu, Bekesef Zu, with whatever the money is or the money equivalent is. Then here, by Yivama, it functions the same way. You use Kesef for Shavei Kesef. Just the language is going to be a little different. Which says Rashi knows here, v'amar loid kadshe li b'ma'amar yivamim. And this should be kiddushin through ma'amar yivamim. Now, afagav ze'ayiv la midei lav kiddushin gemurim kiddushay Torah. Obviously, even if he does this, it's not real kiddushin. This is only kiddushin derabanan, not kiddushin deoraita, because there is no kiddushin generally with a yivama. That's a rabbinic imposition. Ubishtar keitzad. How do you do with the shtar? The same way that shtar works by kiddushin, it's also going to work by ma'amar. Bishtar Ketzad? What do you mean? Bishtar Ketzad? Kidamran? What do you mean? We already said this. Katav la niyar o acheres. Afal pishim basha bapurta. Hariat mikudeshedli. Well, if you told us already how Kesef works, then obviously Shtar is going to work like a Shtar Erusin. So then what's the question? So the Shtar Ketzad, so the Gemara says, Kidamran, we already have this in Kiddushin, which is Katav Lala Niyar Lecheres. If you write it on paper or on a shard of pottery, Afalpi Shembo Shave Pruta, even though the underlying object doesn't have a value of a pruta, Hariyad Mukadesh Adli. That's important, because if the underlying object has a value of a pruta, then he doesn't have to get married through a shtar. He can use that as his money equivalent, and then he can get Kiddushay Kesef. But over here, the question is, how do you do with the shtar? You take something that's not worth a shave pruta, and he does it through the documentation saying, Hariyad Mukadesh Adli. The same should be true with Yivama. Just like you described to us, it works by Kiddushay Kesef, it should work by Kiddushay Shtar. So Rabbi Yachikamar, Shtar Ketubat Yivamim Ketzad. How does the shtar tuba? We're not talking about the shtar kiddushin or shtar yirusin. We're asking, what's the ketubah look like? What does the ketubah look like for the yivama? So katavla ana ploni bar ploni. I, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. Kabili tiyat ploni tivamti alai. I accept this woman as my yivama. Lazun ulufarnasa. To provide for her and to sustain her. Kiraui, properly. Ubavad should take tubata niksae balarishon, with the simple caveat that the lien of property is not on my property, but on my brother's property, the original husband's property. The ilate lalamirishon. If the first one has no property, meaning that he's bankrupt or he doesn't have enough money to fulfill the tuba, then takinu la rabana misheni. Then she gets it out of the second, meaning out of the yabam's property. The reason that it is because the part of the issue of the ketubah is that we want it to be a disincentive to divorce, which is that once he divorces, he's going to have a huge monetary payment that he's going to have to make, and not a monetary payment that's already in escrow. Because again, they went through stages, we'll see this in the Gemara in Ketubot, with institutions of how they tried to put the ketubah into effect to try to prevent there being willy-nilly divorces. So one of the things they tried to do was escrow the money. But when they escrowed the money, the guy says, I don't have the money anyway. So I hit the divorce button, and the money's going out. It's gone already. There's nothing changed. So what they allowed it to do was that they allowed him to keep all the money, all the property. It just said she had a super lien. She had the first lien on the property. And that first lien on property then allows her to collect out of his possessions. So that's what they did in the end. But that disincentive is because NC divorces, now he's got to sell his property. He's got to come up with the money to actually fulfill the ketubah. So the problem will be that, okay, if it's a lien on the first husband's property, that's fine, because the brother now inherits his brother's property. So when he inherits the brother's property, it creates the same disincentive because the lien's on that original property. But if the original brother had no property or has nothing to have a lien on, then you've lost all disincentive over here, because there's nothing he's going to have to pay when he divorces her. So you're back to square one where we have a problem. So then they said, the Takanat Chachamim was, then it went on the second husband, or on the brother who's doing the Yibam, the Abam's property, in order to prevent the problem of him just throwing her out. So it won't be easy for him to divorce her. Abayimi Rabo. Baye question or queried Rabo. Notan laget, v'amar hariat migureshit himeni, v'i'at muteret l'chol adam. Mahu, what's the din here? You are divorced from me, but you are not allowed to marry anyone else. The classic lashon, or the classic way a get works, is you are released from me, and now mutar, you're allowed to go to anyone else. That's what get peturim has to be. It means it's a complete severing of the relationship between the husband and wife, which means, number one, they have no longer have a relationship, and number two is she is free then to enter into relationships with anyone else. What he did here in this get is he says, you are divorced from me. He's severed the relationship with her, but he's not opened up the possibility for her to have a relationship with other. Clearly, this get does not work. All right, now, by a get yivama derabanan hu, maybe by a get of a yivama, since it's only derabanan, get the mahani beishadish mahani bivyama, get lo mahani beishadish lo mahani bivyama. Okay, the get yivamim is only a get derabanan. But they created the get to be patterned after a get deoraita. So basically, a get that is effective in normal kiddushim, in normal deoraita situations, that same get will be effective over here by the yivama. Odima ate lechlufe begita. Maybe they're just going to get mixed up. They're going to say it's a get, and it doesn't really matter. And then people will make a mistake over here that you're allowed to marry a yivama after giving a get. So here, he gave the get. The first thing he did, it's not that he did Yibum with her, it's not that he performed Ma'amar with her, He simply gave her a get up front. And we saw already in our Mishnah, when you give a get up front, that's posel the Yivama, and makes it that they have to perform Chalitza now, they can't perform Yibum. Now, if he gives a posel get, which is a get that only says, we are divorced, but not that you are muter at the Chol Adam, what is the status in that sense? So, the query of Abaye is, listen, it's only a get to Rabbanon. How effective does it have to be? Does it have to be fully effective, which means, just like a get, oraita has to have this in it, so to this get to Rabbanon, which causes a problem of the Yivama now being Kevin Shalom Bana Shuv Lo Yivne, only in a case where it's done good enough get oraita. Or you say, even in a posel get, it's still affected because of the optics here. The posel get that's given makes it look like, if we say, oh, yeah, that's gets posel, now you can marry her and have Yibum with her. If we allow that to go through, what are people going to think? Anytime you give a get, you're allowed to do Yibum afterwards, and we don't want that. Those optics are terrible because of the outcome or what will happen from this. So Rabbo responds and says, yes, we do worry about the fact that it might be optically problematic. And even if he gives a posel get, we're going to still say that no Yibum afterwards. So Matki Flor Rabbo Barchanon Elamiato Yoivla Naira Ba'alma. When Naira Ba'alma, he gives her just a plain piece of paper with nothing on it. Hakanami de Paslo. Well, over there we're going to say the same thing, that it's being a posel. Meaning that the same thing should be true if nobody can understand what transpired here. When he gives her a blank piece of paper, or he gives her a paper that has a posel get on it, what should be the difference? Where it says, Amalei, Hotam lo posel bikahuna. Wait, there's a big difference. If he gives her a blank piece of paper, that has no impact on her whatsoever. She's not pasul de kuna. She's not divorced, meaning that there's no problem with performing yibum after that. It was meaningless, the act that was taken. On the other hand, when you give her the pasul get, then you do something. There is impact halachically, which is now she no longer may marry a kohen. Even though the get was not effective, the what we call the reyach get, there being a smell of a get around her, already is posel her the kuhuna. This get has a halachic impact. Even though it's not effective in creating a divorce, nevertheless, it has a halachic impact. And in having a halachic impact, that's why we say that atei lechlufa, that they might come to mix it up and say, well, even in a real get, you can perform yibum afterwards, because here, this get made her psula the kuhuna, and nevertheless, she was able to perform yibum afterwards. The Tanya. Bisha grusha miisha lo yikachu. And a woman that is divorced from a man, they may not take to marry. Even though she's only divorced from her husband, the Kohanim cannot marry her. This is the example of Reach Get that is Posel Bikuna. Whenever you have a get that has a smell of a get, that's Posel Bikuna. The Rambam here paskins that this is the only example. There's one example of Reach Get that's Posel Bikuna. This example here where he says, he writes the get saying that you are released from me, but not Muter the Chol Adam. That's the only time Reach Get is problematic. The Rambam disagrees and says that's not the case. That's just an example of Reach Get. And therefore, in many instances where the Chachamim say the get is pasul, even though the get is pasul, it will still be posel the woman, the kuhuna, despite the fact that it's a get pasul. Which ones do and which ones don't, that's a much harder exercise to figure out. If you disagree with the Rambam that this is not the only example, you have to figure out when the get feels more real versus when it's completely inadequate. And so then you have to figure out when it's posel the kuhuna. Again, the Rambam is a simpler approach. In the Ravid Shita, it's a question of how pasul the get is. This is still effective halachically to osir to the kuhuna. On the other hand, for the Rambam, this is the only example of a get pasul that actually creates a problem of reyach haget. Now we move on to the next case here. Amar Rabbi Bachama, Ari Amru, Amar Echad Lavlar. Person says to a sofer, Tov get arusati. I have these evil plans, nefarious thoughts, which is that I'm already engaged to this woman. I have kiddushin with her, and I'm going to have nisuin with her. But after I finish the nisuin, I'm going to get rid of her. I'm getting a get. So now, listen. Right now, katuv get the erusati. Right out of get, the erusati, likhish ech nesena. When I marry her, egershena, I will be migaresher. Harizeh get, mipnei she biyadol garsha. This is an effective get because he has the ability to divorce her. Erusino kudushin create enough of a marriage that you would need a get to unwind it. So at this point in time, he can give a get. He's able to give it, and he can give a get. Although he decides that he doesn't want to give it now. He wants to give it in the future, after he completes nisuin. So he's going to first have nisuin, and then he's going to give a get. So he has the sofer write up a get today, to be effective in the future. Now, what about the problem of get yashan? Rashi raises that right away. He says, ah, imishum get yashan. The kaimelo and beitilel poslim. Beit Hillel says that a get yeshen is pasul if you have it dated before the time period where the get's going to go. To kaimul on Beit Hillel posim, it's not ezu get yeshen koshin yitiyachedi ma'achar tiba. So over here, certainly he was mityached because he's going to have nisuin afterwards. Aitmar, we already said there, im nitgarshat tinaseh l'chatchila, that it's bidyavad, it still works, the get. So even though l'chatchila it's not a good get, bidyavad, the get works. That's the way Rashi deals with the problem. Tosafot does not like that explanation and says that it's ain't no get, and Rashi's explanation is not acceptable. So v'omer rabbi deinu tam, t'hocha k'shukat v'ozman shachar nisuin. He just postdated the get. That's how he solved the problem. It's not a get yeshan because he postdated it. Because here, a get yeshan would be pasul for sure. Suppose Rashi says bidyavad it would work, but here it's pasul legamre. What's the difference between this case and a normal case of get yeshan? Because in a normal case of get yeshan, there's just a suspicion, if they were nityached, that there was bia. And the bia would unwind the get because then they reaffirm their nisuin. Over here, we know for certain he had bia because he had nisuin. He completed nisuin after the get. So over here, for certain, if the get was dated prior to the nisuin, pasul. Because we know for certain he had bia, and that's a pasul get. In the other case of get yeshan, normally bidyavad it works because there's only a suspicion of bia. There's only a suspicion if they were nityached that there was bia. So bidyavad it works. Over here, you can't even work bidyavad. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam says the case here is where he postdated the get. He put the get after the date of their nisuin. So therefore, he creates, basically, if he didn't give it right away, he creates a get yeshan, which is the normal suspicion of get yeshan, or he dated it to the point and he gave it on the date that it said in the shtar, and therefore there's no get yeshan over here. So here the get is effective even though it's written before the time of the divorce, because at the time it was written, he had the ability to divorce. Therefore it is a get. Whereas here, Udisha ba'alma ain't get. By a normal woman, it's not a get. Bibnei she'en bi'adol garsha. In a normal situation, which is a woman that he has yet to have kiddushin with, any woman, if he says, write me a get that in the future will be effective, then he has kiddushin with her, then he has nisuin with her, that doesn't work, because when he wrote the get, right, he wasn't in his ability or in his power to affect the gerushin. Others suggest that it's just not a get lishma. I mean, it's not a get that is effective as a get, because when he wrote it, there was no reason for a get. He had no ability to generate a get lishma, because he wasn't married at that time. Now, Tosfot over here brings an opinion. The Ri says, near the Ri, it's only according to the one who says that you can't generate things in the future. You can't generate things that have yet to come. It's machloket in the Gemara in Kiddushin. Whether, for instance, you can say that when I purchase this slave, I will free him. Is that effective? Because you don't own the slave right now. Can you do that in the future? Machloket in the Gemara in Kiddushin, if you can't be makne or do something, davashalo bali olam. So over here, it's the same scenario. He's doing something that is yet to happen. But if he affects the transaction in the future, maybe it should be effective. And the reason says, Eneochanami. Anybody who believes that Davar Shelo Bala Olam is effective, in this case will also say it's effective. He creates the get now, it will be effective in the future. Okay, this is the way Tosfot says it. Tosfot doesn't make any qualifications. There are those, like the Rambam who says that the problem here is get lishma, then for him it would still be problematic. Because meaning when you, even though you can do Davar Shelo Bala Olam, when you're doing it, you just don't have the ability to generate a get. And since you don't have the ability to generate a get, you can't generate a get lishma, and that will exist even if you believe you can be makna dover shalom ba'li olam, because you can't generate what is needed in a get. All right, anyway, that's anocha, that's the given. Ba'i Rami Bar Chama. Now this is the question. Rami Bar Chama stated what was given by normal gitin. Now he wants to know, what is the impact within Yivama? Livim to mahu. What is the effectiveness of this get with regards to Yivama? Rashi claims that the question simply here is, if he says, over here, I want to give this get, Livimto, Katzvo Kodem Shikansa, before he consummates the Yibam, he writes the get, Shikansa Natula, then he gives it to her after he was Koneser, does that get effective? I mean, Rashi looks at it as the exact same question as the previous question by Erusin. He had this woman, he's had Erusin with her, because this is the way how people explain Rashi. Erusin, by Erusin, I have the ability to give a get. Since I have the ability to give during Erusin, I can write a future get for after Nisuin. So the question is similar over here for Rashi. I have a connection to this Yivama because we have a Zika between us. There's some sort of relationship between us. Since there is a relationship between us now, I want to know if I write the get for the future. When I consummate the Yibam, can that get be effective at dissolving the marriage then, the full-fledged marriage after I've done it? That's the way Rashi says. Rashi says it's a Doraita question. To question whether this get is effective do right to unwind the Yibum after he performs Yibum. Tosafot is unwilling to accept that as being the problem. He says, in the Faresh, There's no way that can be the question, because it's pshita that that doesn't work. Because that's the equivalent of going up to someone in the shuk and saying to her, basically, I'm going to give her a get and then I'm going to marry her, because there is no real relationship here. The Yivama and him have a zika, but they don't have a relationship of marriage. Over here, the only thing he can do, even if he gave her a get now, it would not be effective. The get would just be posel him, not allow him to perform Yivam, but you still need chalitza. The get now is not relevant while they're still in this stage of shomeret Yivam. So that's why the question here is certainly not about effective doraita. So that's why he rejects Rashi's explanation. And then he brings two explanations as to what he thinks the problem is. Vomiri, the posla mikunami baile. He wants to know if this is a good enough get to be posel or mikuna. Yichoshi v'yach get to posel mikuna. Is this a good enough get to be posel mikuna? Because it's close enough to being real that it will be posel or the kuna or not. The Rivam suggests that the question is not even about the consummation of the Yibam, but rather, if he writes it before Mamar, does Mamar, can he use this get to unwind the Mamar? Because this get was written before Mamar, then Mamar is effective, and then afterwards, is it effective enough? You look at the Tosfot Yishanim, he gives you a little nuances on these two explanations that are given here in the Tosafot, but a similar idea here, that the question is simply, can the get be effective Midr Abanan to do something? Rashi's saying it's an effective get deal right though. And he wants to know, after you've consummated the Yibum, does it work? Tosfot says it's clear that that can't work because there's no relationship up front that allows it to work. So the only question is, it's clearly a get psula, but is it pasula enough or close enough to being kasher that it can affect her in terms of being posel or the kuna? Or the other possibility that it's dealing with the mamar part of it. If he gives this, it gets this get written, then does mamar, and then gives this get, does it work to unwind the mamar? That's the question of the Gemara over here, whereas according to the Ramban, the question here is how effective is this get midrabanan? Meaning that, of course, it's not going to work doraita because we're discussing ma'amar over here, but the fact that a get is effective in order to be posla, in order to make her psula, that he have to then perform chalitza and not yibum, does that show that there's a relationship here between the yabam and the yivama? And since there is a relationship, therefore the get will be good achar ha-nisuin, or maybe this get has no impact after the nisuin. Obviously, this is all before ma'amar, because once you have ma'amar, then clearly there is a relationship midrabanan here, and the get will be effective midrabanan. Again, the other Rishonim have little different nuanced plays on this about exactly what the question of the Gemara is, but they clearly believe that it's a rabbinic problem and not a doraita issue like Rashi is suggesting over here. He asks, these are the two sides of it. Since he has attached her through a zika, he has a status like an arusa. That's okay, again, they explain Rashi. Rashi's saying like an arusa means that like he can give a get to his arusa. Technically, he should be able to give a get here, even though it's not effective. Therefore, when he gives the get afterwards, it's effective. Oh, Dilma came into law vad by mamar, lo. Or because maybe he didn't do mamar yet, there's no real kiddushin that you're unwinding here. If he already done mamar, then the get would be unwinding the mamar. If it was unwinding the mamar, then he has an ability to unwind the mamar. Therefore, he can unwind the nisuim as well. Even though, again, according to Rashi, you're dealing with different levels. You're dealing with a derabonan level of mamar being unwound and a doraita level being unwound by the nisuim. Nevertheless, that relationship, or that closest relationship, is enough to allow you to use this get afterwards. Or according to the Tosafot to the others, meaning that how good is this get to make her pasula de kuna, or how good is this get in terms of unwinding the ma'amar? The question is, how similar is their relationship to a relationship of an arusa, to her arus, is a yavama to a yavam? That's really the question over here. So teiku, then they left unresolved. They did not have an answer to that. Bayi Rabbi Chananya, katav get the zikato velo le ma'amaro. He writes a get to unwind the zika, but not to unwind the ma'amar. Or he writes a get to unwind his mamar, velo le zikato, but not to unwind the zika. Mahu, what is the din over here? Mamar, ilave zika karami. Mamar is built on top of the zika, meaning that's just a strengthening of the existing zika. There's an existing zika, and then the mamar, on top of that, strengthens the zika to make it even stronger. Then if he tries to eliminate one of the two options, meaning either the mamar or the zika, it's ineffective because all he's trying to do is divorce half a woman. You divorce a half a woman, doesn't work. So over here, since you have two pieces that create the relationship here, which is zika and Mamar together are the full relationship. If you try to knock off one of them, you're going to be ineffective. And therefore, it doesn't work at all. Oh, Dilma, hay l'chudei kai, v'hay l'chudei kai. Or maybe each one stands independent, meaning that the Zika and the Mamar function on different tracks. The Zika is one part of the relationship. The Mamar generates an independent connection between them, nothing to do with the Zika. Well, if that's the case, then you could eliminate one without the other. You could eliminate the Mamar without the Zika, or eliminate the Zika without the Mamar. So, but Tifsho Lemi de Rava, wait a minute, we already dealt with this earlier in the Masechta. We dealt this with Rava back on Daf Lamed Bet, Dama Rava. Now, Tan get the Mamaro, Putra Tzarata. That if he gives a get to unwind the Mamar, Putra Tzarata, the Tzara is Muteret. And then we had a second Lashon, that not only is Putra Tzarata, but Putra the Achin, that she is Muteret to the brothers. Even the Yavama herself is Muteret to the brothers. And there's a machlok of Rishonim as well as over here about how muteret is she. Is she muteret to all the brothers, including the one who gave the mamar and get, or only to the other brothers? Rashi over here says she's only muteret to the other brothers when she does this, whereas Tosfos says, no, even to the one who did the mamar and get, when it resets back to the beginning, it means that anybody here can perform Yibum now. They just did something and wound it, and now it's as if nothing had happened ever. And even for the brother who performed all these activities, it's as if nothing happened, and he can perform Yibum if he wanted. Rashi says, all the other brothers can perform Yibum with this woman, not the brother itself. It's clear with the Tzara, the co-wife, that it is Muteret. So now, over here, the Gemara says, we already know that from Rava. So the answer Rashi says, the Rava Pshitale. Yeah, that's Rava thinks it's a simple thing. Hay l'chudei kai v'hay l'chudei kai. The Rav Chananya mibayile. Rav Chananya has a problem. He doesn't know which way it goes. My, what's the din? Teiko. So that's it. We don't know. We don't have an answer to that for Rabbi, according to Rav Chananya, who presents this problem. Rava did have a belief, or Rava did have a direction, but Rav Chananya did not have that. He had the question remain in place. Now the Gemara continues. Chalatz vasa ma'amar. He does chalitza, and then afterwards perform ma'amar, one of the cases in our Mishnah. Am Rabbi Yehuda Marav, zo divrei Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah must be authored by Rabbi Akiva. I mentioned this when we read the Mishnah, that has to be Rabbi Akiva, because after chalitza, right, why is anything effective over here? Well, because chalitza just generates an Isur Lav, which is kevin shelo bana, shuv lo yivneh. That's an Isur Lav. So now when you have an Isur Lav, kiddushin are tofsin. So why shouldn't the ma'amar be tofes afterwards? Oh, so it must be, that's what he's saying, that it's the author by Rabbi Akiva, the ma'amar, ain't kiddushin tofsin b'chai ve'lavin. Where it says, v'chamim armim, yeish achar chalitza klom. The chamimim believe that after chalitza there is something effective. After chalitza, if you perform ma'amar, ma'amar will be effective because kiddushin takes effect on an Isur Lav. Umi matzit mukim la Rabbi Akiva. Can you really set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva? Aktani Reisha. Doesn't the beginning of the Mishnah state, not on get, vasa ma'amar. Gives a get, and then does ma'amar, tzricha get v'chalitza. That if he gave a get up front, which prevents him from continuing with the process, so then if he does ma'amar after that, then he has to unwind the ma'amar with another get, and he has to do chalitza to unwind the zika. Vi Rabbi Akiva, we have heard from Rabbi Akiva, came di avila get, mi mahani ba ma'amar. Once he's given a get, ma'amar is not effective according to Rabbi Akiva, because Vatanya. We have a braita that says that Rabbi Akiva's position is, Rabbi Akiva Omer, minayin l'notein get li yivimto, person who gives a get, the bill of divorce to his yivama, shene asura alav olamit. She becomes completely asura to him, and nothing is effective after that point in time. Meaning that now there's a lav on her. If there's a lav on her for Rabbi Akiva, you can't have ma'amar after that. So how does a Mishnah talk about a case where he had a get and then ma'amar? There's no such case for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says once you give a get, that creates an Isur Lav, and that Isur Lav then makes it permanently that he cannot engage with her, he can't do anything with her. So again, that makes it impossible for Rabbi Akiva to be the author of our Mishnah, because this case exists in the Mishnah, Shneamar. Pasuk says, Lo yuchal ba'la rishon asher shilcha, that the husband who first sent her out can take her back. Meaning that if she marries a third party, then the one who divorced her cannot remarry her. It seems to be the drasha is on asher shilcha. That is extraneous lashon. Lo yuchal bala rishon, to take her back, that would have been enough. What do you mean asher shulcha? Of course he divorced her. That's why we're in this predicament. So what is asher shulcha? Achar shiluach. Sometimes there's someone who provides a divorce who was never married, and that divorce makes it that he's not allowed to take her back. What's that case? That's the case of Yavama. He was never married to her, but when he provides a get to her, that get creates a permanent separation where he can't take her back. That's the drasha of Rabbi Akiva. That makes it sound like there's a problem with the oraita here. So problem though, right? Then of course Mamar is not effective because Rabbi Akiva believes Yisurei Lav don't allow for a Mamar to be effective afterwards. How could he be the author of the Mishnah? So Rav Ashi gets Yivamin midrabanan. Wait a minute. The get of Yivama is only the Rabbanan, the Krab is smachta ba'alma. Over here, Rabbi Akiva doesn't believe this is really an Isur Lav, midoraita. This is just an smachta ba'alma. A get to Yivama, nobody believes is effective doraita before he takes her in and consummates the Yibum. Nobody believes there that a get is completely effective. That get is just a problem derabonon. That get derabonon is problematic, and the Kra is just a nice limud midrabanan. But that's it. That doesn't mean that the get makes it into an Isur Lav, where you can't have Ma'amar afterwards, and it's not the case that Rabbi Akiva cannot be the author of the Mishnah. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a bright note that supports this. Amar Rabbi. In Devarim Alalu Amurim, Elo Divrei Rabbi Akiva. This Mishnah is according to Rabbi Akiva. Shayo Se Chalutza Ke Erva, because he makes the Chalutza like an Erva. Of a Chamim Amim, Yesh Achar Chalitza Kum. But the Chamim believe that after Chalitza it is effective. Now the truth is, that it's not so simple, because we had a Makokis Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan about after Chalitza, what's the status? I mean, vis-a-vis the Yabam himself, we know that everybody believes it's only an Isur Lav. But whereas the brothers, there's a Machloket whether it's only an Isur Lav, or is there also an Isur Karet? So that Machloket will actually impact over here about the effectiveness of the Mamar. I mean, the Chachamim, in certain cases, will also believe that the Mamar is not effective after the Chalitza. But in the case of the Yabam himself, it's clear that only Rabbi Akiva will have a problem, because that creates an Isur Lav, which is Kevin Shubana Shu Blo Yivneh, and the fact that he doesn't allow Ma'amar to be effective afterwards, that is, of course, the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, because he makes Chalutza Ke'erva. According to Chachamim, who say that there's an Isur Lav only afterwards, then Kiddushin will be Tovsin. Vani Omer. And now Rabbi himself differentiates. Eimatai Bizman Shekidsha the Shumi Shul. That's only if he made Kiddushin for a Kiddushin to be married as husband and wife. So this is what Roni had asked before. Maybe there's a difference in the nature of the Kiddushin that he's proposing, and the Mamar that he's proposing. If he just says Mamar, which is that I'm doing Kiddushin over here, that Kiddushin, according to the Chachamim, is effective, because he's trying to create Kiddushin, and Kiddushin or Chal with the Isur Lav. On the other hand, if he tries to create Kiddushin through a Yivama, or the process of Yibum, he's already wiped out the Zika with the Chalitza. The Chalitza terminates anything to do with this Yibum process. If it does that, then doing Mamar now for Yibumim is completely ineffective, because you're trying to do something that's already terminated. You can't revitalize or reinvigorate something that's already been terminated. It's dead. If it's dead, then trying to bring it back to life is not going to be effective in this case. So Tanya Idach, we also have another bright, Acholetz Levim Tov, Chazar V'Kidsha. Someone who gives Chalitza to Yivama, and then has Kiddushim with her, Rabbi Omer, and Kidsha, the Shumi Shult, Tzucha Meneget. If he does the Kiddushim, the Shem Kiddushin, the Mamar, then it works, because Kiddushin are Tovsim B'Chavi Lavin. So therefore he needs a get to unwind it. The Shum Yivamot. If he does it to create Yivama, meaning that Mamar, in Tzucha Meneget, then she does not need a get at that point in time, because that Mamar, after the Chalitza, again, it's ineffective because you already shut down the process. Chamim Omrim, the Chamim disagree and say, Ben Kidsha Leshum Yishud, Ben Kidsha Leshum Yivamot, Tzricha Yemenu Get. That doesn't matter what type of Kiddushin he creates over here, because Chalitza only creates an Isur Lav, and therefore the Kiddushin are effective in either Lashon. Doesn't matter if it's a Lashon of Yishud, Lashon of Yivamot. Either way, there's an effectiveness created here in the Kiddushin, and since there's an effectiveness in the Kiddushin, no matter how he framed it or how he structured it, he requires a get to unwind it. And now the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly is the position of Rabbi. How does Rabbi's position explain? The Chachamim explain their position, which is simply that there's an Isur Lav here, and no matter how you effectuate the Kiddushin, it works. Whether it's through Yibum or through Ishut, it is effective, and therefore you have to unwind it with a get. Rabbi Kiva clearly believes that neither one is effective, because there's an Isur Lav here. So no matter if you do it for Ishut or Yivamut, there's no problem here, because it was not effective, and therefore you don't need a get. Rabbi is sitting in the middle. He says sometimes it's effective, sometimes it's not effective. How do we explain that shita of Rabbi? Summer of Yosef, my time with Rabbi. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi's position? Asuk Udir Benichse Ager Ukasavur Shilohain Delokani. It's similar to a case in which a person has property that borders on the property of a ger. The ger passes away and has no inheritors. So now the property is hefker. The first one to take possession of the property will be the one who gains it. One of the ways to take possession of the property is actually to work the land. So he goes out there and he is hoeing away, he's furrowing away, but he thinks it's his own field. Turns out, because of the adjacency of his field to the field of the ger, that he's actually working in the ger's field. So he's actually doing work in the ger's field, but he's not koneh the ger's field. Even though he's doing an action that seemingly is effective or should be effective over here, but the problem is that he has the wrong thing in mind. So to over here, by Rabbi, when he does the action of Yibum, which is Kiddushei Ma'amar, even though he's doing an action that should be effective, the problem is that he's thinking it's working through the process of Yibum. Since it's working through the process of Yibum, it's actually ineffective. And so for that reason, he is lo koneh by the case of the property of the ger. And similar over here, the Yibum is not effective. Amalei Abayi Midomi. But he says, how can you compare these two cases? Hatam lo kamikavin lemikneh. Over there, he has no intention to be koneh the property of the ger whatsoever. Meaning that his kavanah is completely missing. Hacha kamikavin lemikneh. Over here, he has intentions of being koneh through the Yibum. It's just that he's using the wrong vehicle. So your comparison doesn't seem to be a proper comparison. Again, this is Abayi, who's a Talmud of Yosef, challenging Rav Yosef here. He says, Halo Daniel lo odur minichse ger zeh. It's like a case here where you have two adjacent properties of Gerim, and if they passed away, and again, they have no inheritors, so now he goes ahead and he works in one of the fields, he thinks it belongs to the other Ger, but it truly belongs to Ger A instead of Ger B. He thinks he's working in Ger B's field, and it says in Ger A's field. And in that case, Dikoni. So in that case, you are Koneh, because you have the intent to do the right thing, you're just in the wrong field, but since your intention is correct, it is effective. So to over here, we would say the same thing. If he has the right intent, which is that he wants to create Kiddushin, even though he's in the wrong place or using the wrong vehicle, it should work. So El Amar Abayi, Ochem Ha'iskinan, what's the case over here? Gugon Damar Lo, Hitkachili, Bama Amar Yivamim. That you should be Hitkadesh to me through the Ma'amar of a Yivamim. Rabbi Savar, Ma'amar Ilavei Zikakarami. The Ma'amar is built on top of a Zika, and therefore it's an extension of the existing Zika. Ba'atai Chalitza, Afkata Zika. But the Chalitza that preceded this Ma'amar already wiped out the Zika. So the Ma'amar can't be built on anything because there's no foundation. The foundation's missing, therefore the Ma'amar is meaningless. Rabbanan Savri, Ha'iluchudei Ka'i V'Ha'iluchudei Ka'i. So that each one of them is independent of each other. Ma'amar works on its own, and Zika works on its own. If he had said, while the Zika was still alive, had he said that you should be Nitkadesh with Ma'amar Yivamim, it would have worked. So that works now. It's not connected to Zika. It's not dependent on Zika. Now Tosafot and all the Rishonim over here ask on Abaye's position over here, how is this different than Rav Yosef's position? So Amari, the Marid of Yosef, so that there is a difference here between Rav Yosef and what Abayi is suggesting over here. They could go and amar la'id kachili stam l'shem yivamot. When he said the kiddushin, he said kiddushim stam, and then he also said l'shem yivamot. So hainu degali adate shetorat yivamim mikadsha. But that's how he shows or demonstrates that he is mimikadesh with torat yivamim. Diyam amar la behedja ma'amar yivamim lo v'parich le'abayi midomi. Because had he said specifically that it was just ma'amar yivamim, then Abayi wouldn't have had a question, because that is Abayi's solution to the problem. So the first way Tosafot differentiates between Rav Yosef's case and Abayi's case is to say that the language he used was slightly different. In the case of Rav Yosef, he used just generic language, and then also mentioned Yivama attached to it. But he also mentioned generic, and that's why Abayi says in that case it would go through for sure. But in case of Abayi, he's suggesting that he used language that was specifically rock, that he was Mikadesh b'mamar Yivamim. And because that's the only way he specified it, that's why it fails over here. The second answer Tosfos gives, Inami b'ma'amar la hitkachid li l'shem yivamot, lo mashma b'torat ma'amar yivamim. That when you say l'shem, the way that Rabbi Yosef would have phrased it is that he did it l'shem yivamot. He did it for the purpose of Yibum. But that doesn't necessarily mean b'torat ma'amar yivamim. It just means that I want to be mikadeshu because you are a yivama. That can work, because it can work derech kiddushin, even though it doesn't work derech Yibum at that time. But, according to Abaye, when he says that you did it b'torat ma'amar yivamim, which suggests that only through the process of Yibum should it work, that specifies that he's functioning in the world of Yibum alone. And over there, Zika will make a difference depending on whether you have the position of Rabbi or the Chachamim over here. So Tosafot differentiates between why Rabbi criticizes Rabbi Yosef and says that that case will work according to Rabbi versus the case here according to Rabbi, which will not work according to Rabbi. And he says the distinction is in the language that he's using. And he gives two examples of those language differentials that they are using. There's also a sheet of the Rabbi that's brought in the Tosafot Chad Mikamai that suggests that the difference here is the focus of the Kiddushin. That by the case of Rabbi Yosef says that he was Mekadesh Yivimto. So the focus was on the object of the Kiddushin, Yivimto, that he was Mekadesh her. But he doesn't talk about the vehicle, the process that he's using, simply that he's Mekadesh Yivimto. Over there, Rabbi says that's going to work because it can work through Kiddushin. Whereas by the statement of Abaye, he is using the Torah Tivamin. He's talking about the process, not about the object of the Kiddushin, which is the Vama, but rather about the process that he's using. Here he's using Torah Tivamim. When he uses Mamar Yivamim, that process is going to fail because there Zika does make a difference. So you see the Rishonim grappling of and how to distinguish between the position of Rabbi Yosef and Abaye, and they're all focused on this Lashon, the slight difference or nuance in the language that is used that differentiates between the position of Rabbi Yosef and Abaye. Rav Amar, Rav comes and disagrees again. He says, Rav says, even if you use Mamar Yivamim like Abaye suggests, it would work. Everybody would agree it would work. So what's the case here? Question is, when he specifies that the vehicle that he's using is Zika, Rabbi Savar Yesh Zika, Rabbi believes there is Zika, Fatai Chalitza Afkate Lizika. So since there normally is Zika, the Chalitza comes and eliminates the Zika, and in so eliminating the Zika, the Mamar is not going to be effective here because he premised it on Zika Tivamim. It doesn't exist. Rabbanan Savar Ein Zika. On the other hand, the Rabbanan believe that there is no Zika. Even though there's no Zika, he can still use this language and it would work. So to over now it'll work with Zika Yivamim, because Zika is not a factor here because there is Ein Zika. As Rashi says over here, Ein Koach the Zika. Zika has no power in this situation. Doesn't mean that they believe there is no Zika whatsoever. It just means in this area, Zika is not relevant. And since Zika is not relevant, if in the original status he had said, it works, even though Zika is not a relevant factor, so too after the Chalitza, when Zika again is not a relevant factor, the Kiddushin should be effective. Rav Shravia Amar b'Chalitza k'shira, in a case of a proper Chalitza, idamar hitkacheli b'zikat yivamim, if he uses it, he says, kuli amalo plige dolo mahani. Everybody agrees that it's not effective. Here they were arguing about a case of a chalitza psula. Marsav a chalitza psula puteret, that chalitza psula is effective. Marsav a chalitza psula enu puteret is not effective. And therefore the question is there a residual zika over here? And if there is a residual zika, can you utilize that in order to use the kiddushin ayudei zikat yivamim? And that depends on the power of the chalitza psula. For instance, if he did chalitza after a get. So the question is, what's the power of that chalitza? Ravashi amar, dekuli alma chalitza psula einu puteret. Everybody agrees that chalitza psula is not fully effective and there's still a zika there. Here they argue about whether you can have conditions built into the chalitza. For instance, if the woman has to perform some sort of action or pay some sort of money in order for the chalitza to be effective. So the Chachamim believe that there is such thing as a Tanai by Chalitza, and therefore the Chalitza is in abeyance until the Tanai is done. Mar Savra ain't Tanai by Chalitza, whereas Rabbi holds there is no condition that can be put into the Chalitza. Chalitza is automatically effective. If that's the case, there is no residual Zika over here to be toface for the Mamar. Ravina Amar, Dukuli Alma Yesh Tanai b'Chalitza. Everybody agrees you can have a condition built into Chalitza. V'alcha b'Tanai Kaful Kamiflege. And here they argue about the nature of a condition that is built in. Do you need to have the condition be like the condition of what's called Tanai Gad V'Ruvain? Which is, Tanai Gad V'Ruvain is when Gad and Ruvain decide to take their inheritance in Avar Yarden instead of in Eretz Yisrael. They make a covenant with Moshe that they're going to go ahead and fight with Bnei Yisrael in Canaan. And then they will take their property in Avar Yarden. So there the condition is what's called a dual condition. It says, Moshe says to him, if you go ahead and fight in the battles in Canaan, then you will inherit the land on Aver Yardain. But if you do not do that, then you will not inherit the land in Aver Yardain. I mean, the condition involves both the positive accomplishment of the condition, as well as the negative, the failure to accomplish the condition. So that's called a Tanai Kaful. The question here is that, yes, Tanai works in Chalitza. The only question is, do you need to state the Tanai in this way, which is, if you do such and such, Chalitza will be effective. If you don't do such and such, Chalitza will not be effective. You have to state both sides of the condition. Rabbi says you need a Tanai Kaful, and his failure to make a Tanai Kaful here means that the condition is not a condition, and the Chalitza goes through, and therefore there's no Zika left. Because the Chachamim do not require a Tanai Kaful, and therefore, even though he stated only one side of the condition, that's enough to make this condition effective in the Chalitza, and therefore the Chalitza doesn't go through, because she has yet to accomplish the Tanai, the condition that was set out for the Chalitza. Now Rashi already raises an issue that is a serious issue for all the Rishonim here. Rashi says, Ravina Mar Dekuli Amma Yesh Tanai B'Chalitza. Everybody agrees that there is a condition that can be placed inside of the Chalitza that would hold the Chalitza in abeyance until that condition is met. He says, Avadav the Kaimalon, even though we paskin later on in the Mesechta, Chalitza Muted Ksheira, a mistaken Chalitza works, and that even if you put a condition in, no matter how you play around with the Chalitza is effective. How come over here we're saying, well, if there's a condition, you have to wait for the condition to be fulfilled? That doesn't seem to agree with the way that we paskin the Alocha later on. And Rashi says, Hani Tanai lo Sfir Lehu, Eino Chanami, these Tanaim that we're discussing here, do not hold of that position later on. It's a machloket Tanaim, and they don't subscribe to that position later on. The Rif says something similar to Rashi, and he says all these deot that we just brought over here from the case of Ravan onward are not deot alacha, they're just bechadeid. They are playing around with the different options or ways to explain the machloket, but not necessarily that these are halachic statements, because most of them turn out to be not halachic statements. And that's, as Rashi points out, makes it problematic. And therefore, the Rif says that they are just speculating as to these things, but they're not saying these lahalocha. And therefore, it's not a machloket tanaim, because this is simply a process of discovery, not a statement of halacha. As you can see, Tosafot over here, the first Tosafot also asked the same question. Ravina Amar Dekulei Amma Yesh Tanai B'Chalitza. Teima L'Ri, Dani Amorai, Ato Lo Keyochato. All these Amoraim that are suggesting that the machloket is this way turn out not to be the halacha. The Kaimalon, the Chalitza Mutet Kesheira, like Rashi says, that we say the Chalitza Mutet is Kesheira. Vote. Ad the Mifli Debi Yesh Tanai B'Chalitza L'Inyan Ma'amar Shacharel. While they're arguing about Tanai and Chalitza for the Ma'amar afterwards, Lifli Go L'Inyan HaTorah L'Shuk. Is the Chalitza effective at all? Vilmeri, the L'Inyan HaTorah L'Shuk to Kuli Amaha B'Chalitza. So Tosfot deals with this and says, Eino Chanami. In terms of this Chalitza being effective, everybody agrees it's effective enough to release her to marry to a third party. Because I'm alone, ain't tonight b'chalitza. Elolinyan davei chalitza psula. The question is this a chalitza psula that leaves some sort of residual zika here upon which the mamar can be built? That's the question here. So the chalitza is effective in releasing the woman to the shuk, but it might not be 100% effective, meaning that it leaves over some residual zika which the mamar can build on, and that's the machloket over here. So Tosafot reconciles between the sugya further on and this sugya by saying that they are actually discussing different issues. Everybody agrees that the chalitza is effective. The only question is, how effective is this chalitza? She's released to the shuk, but maybe there's some residual connection to the yabam here. And if there is such a residual connection, can you build the mamar on it? The Ramban actually has an alternate girsa in Reb Shrabya's position. Amar b'chalitza k'sheira. Ida amar. Nobody argues that it doesn't help, but rather his is kuliyama lo pligi dimahani, that it works. And therefore, according to the Ramban, it's really a function of imtim salomar, and imtim salomar, which similarly Rashi seems to be explaining as well, that each subsequent answer builds on the previous answer and says, once we have this premise, then what is the locha and the next sequence that we bring up? And basically, that's how the Ramban brings it in to be halachically correct by switching around. But the Kuliyama says, everybody says over here that it works by the Chalitza of Zikat Yivamim. It still leaves the problem of Chalitza Mutet or Chalitza Psula, in addition to the fact that we've already mentioned earlier that Chalitza Psula in a Charekum. That was in our Mishnah. Again, you have to answer up how we deal with this halachically, and that brings up the position of the Rif that we mentioned before. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph.